Let's talk about Game Time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
319! Aaron Rodgers fires one up the right seam for Lazard. He's got it at the 5 into the end zone. That's a jet touchdown.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's been a while. I felt great. I had a lot of gratitude.
They run Mason off the left side, a cutback run. Touchdown!
Earlier on the show, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus. Coming up, hosts of the Heed the Call podcast, Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler, Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just said farewell to Matt Eberflus. The Senator Mark Kelly is going to be on in hour number three. And in case anybody's out there going, well, you're not talking politics, are you? There is a big debate tonight. No, he's coming on to promote his new book, Maustronaut Saves the World. Because, you know, he's that rare hybrid senator astronaut Arizona Cardinals fan. That's in hour number three of this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Overreaction Monday and a Tuesday still to come. I got a top five list of my top five performers of week number one. But we kick off hour number two with our in-studio guests that need a hug because their respective teams lost collectively by the combined score of 65 to 36 in week number one. But at least they've got a winning pod on the Underdog Fantasy Podcast Network. Five times a week, check out Heed the Call with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler. Good to see you guys. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having us.
We're doing well. It is a reminder, yes, that things could be better with the football teams. But, you know, I was saying to Mark on our podcast last night with the Jets, Rich, that
yes, sir.
We won week one last year, but the season felt over. This year we lost week one, but we're still alive.
That's right.
There's a lot to go.
That's what I said to start the program.
Brockman over there thinks the Patriots now are alive and the Jets are dead. We'll see. Week one lies, Brockman. You know that.
That's what I think. Yeah. Kyle Brandt said that all throughout game day morning and on Good Morning Football overtime, which you can see right here on the Roku channel. But in all seriousness, though, I did start the program to say, hey, at least the quarterback walked out and he's healthy and he will be starting week number two for Tennessee. Where do you stand on the way the Browns week one went?
I mean, Mark? A dictionary definition of an apocalypse. I mean, it was like I was, you know, we cover a number of games for our show on Sunday night. And
indeed.
I was excited to pick that one up. I thought it was going to be you get Tom Brady in the booth. And
yes.
He fared better than Cleveland. I thought the Browns basically took every question you had about them and answered it in the most negative way possible. I'm in a world at this point where I thought they were so completely outcoached, outclassed that about 5 or 6 minutes into game time, I knew it was over. And I've been doing this for years. There's been Browns games where like game over, like midway through the first quarter. It's like, I think season over if they don't figure out what's happening with Deshaun Watson, because I am looking at a quarterback that has regressed to a point where I don't understand who he was in Houston, who he is now, and I would much rather turn to Jameis Winston at this point, a la Joe Flacco, the last time I felt hope as a Browns fan.
So that is an interesting question there, because Watson did say after the game, you know, his dad passed away and his close friend passed away, even though his mom raised him. He said it affected him. He didn't use it as an excuse, he was saying. But, I mean, there were a couple of throws And again, because I had Amari Cooper in a fantasy against that man that's in the corner right there, okay. who I can't look in the face because he actually beat me this week.
It's tough.
Okay, dude, I don't understand why. Because I feel like I've got a lot going on in my life.
That's the problem.
But why do I need to win a fantasy to actually feel good about myself internally and externally? Well. It's so sad. But that's my own. That's an MP, not a YP.
Okay.
So it's like an American P.
But I was focusing a little bit on where Cooper was on the field. A couple of times he's in the end zone or heading to the end zone, and the ball hit the back wall, and a couple times he's going down the left sideline and the ball hit the kicking net.
Yeah,
and it was so far afield, it was one of, like, what has happened to this guy is the question you have to have.
There were so many turnover worthy throws. I thought his finest pass of the day was a dart out of bounds to CeeDee Lamb, who caught it with no problems along the Cowboys sideline. That was
he did take one in the chops after taking it in the chops all day, and he hit Cooper in his hands and it went through his hands.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I was particularly keen to see him catch. But that said, it was a big ass question mark all Sunday,
I think there's a world where I can't roadmap it right now, but the Browns find a way to get out of this situation at some point. And, you can't do this for 3 more years. What we just saw, I don't know if I could do it for 3 more weeks. 3 more minutes might be tough.
So $92 million guaranteed left on the contract after this year. And the thing that's jumped out to me watching him, it's also, coming out of college, his coach was saying this is a Michael Jordan type talent. He can do everything. And that's what he looked like at times with Houston. And all the off-the-field stuff is one thing. On the field, scattershot arm. He does not push the ball downfield. And when he tries to evade pass rush, he was a supreme athlete. And now all you ever see is him getting dragged down as he tries to escape the pocket. He just seems like a different player entirely. So that's a tough one.
There's some winnable games sitting in front, too, though. I mean, I'm not talking about this week. At Jacksonville, that is a tough place to play.
Yep.
That is a tough team. I mean, Josh Hines-Allen is a grown man. Trevon Walker did look better against the Dolphins in week number one. And they're also equally as desperate to not go to 0-2. You do have the Giants in week three coming into the dog pound. Now, if Daniel Jones and the Giants come in there and win that game, I don't know.
We have problems at that point.
I would think so. I mean, at Vegas, at Washington, these are games that a team that made the playoffs last year with 11 wins and Joe Flacco being the comeback player of the year because of how well he was performing in this offense without Nick Chubb, although with a more healthy offensive line. These are games that the Browns should win. You should expect them to win these games.
Yeah, I think you can, looking at the schedule, you could roadmap them being 2-2, possibly 3-2.
Right.
I think it still comes down to who is this quarterback and what does he look like? Because if it's this, winning those games loses meaning to me because you still have to go through the rugged nature of the entire season with someone that I'm not sure can play anymore. I watched a quarterback.
Wow.
I'm not sure this quarterback can play anymore. And I also does he want to? Is this someone that is burning with passion to play football? Because when I hear him speak and talk, I just don't see it. I mean, we've all seen those quarterbacks where you can feel that their livelihood, everything about them, their soul, their nucleus is about playing football at the NFL level. And I'm not feeling that personally from Deshaun Watson. I tweeted out last night, playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns should mean something. And it was an image of Bernie Kosar in a driving snowstorm against the old Houston Oilers. That meant something to me, watching him play. I could feel it. You could feel it coming off his skin. And I don't feel that way with Deshaun Watson. I don't know how else to say it. I just... Show it to me.
And I wonder
show it to all of us.
If it does continue down this road, if you Kevin Stefanski, he's in a very safe place. He's the reigning coach of the year. But if he feels one way and ownership feels another way, what is happening behind the scenes around his, whether he continues as QB1 with this team, if the play doesn't get where it needs to be. I mean, the money is outrageous that they promised to this guy. And now... His play has complicated everything.
But if you go to Jameis and Deshaun is healthy, you bench him just to say he needs a break, he needs a breather, he needs this. How, with $92 million left on a contract, how do you even go back to him, right? I mean, I guess you can.
Right.
You can. I mean, so the question is doesn't this essentially fracture the relationship if they just say you're benched due to ineffectiveness?
Yes, I think it does fracture it, and I guess it's like, are we okay with it being fractured? I mean, they weren't in the offseason because Joe Flacco wanted to stay in Cleveland, and I think we all think like Joe Flacco was too likable. He was winning. The team loved him. He was giving the speeches in the locker room after the game, and everyone just, you could feel that leadership. And who's giving the speeches in the pregame? Cleveland Browns feed is tweeting out Jameis motivating the troops. Mm-hmm. You didn't even see Deshaun Watson doing it. So it's like, I think they're a little allergic to someone coming in and being more likable than Deshaun Watson because they've got a problem with Deshaun Watson as a personality. I don't think that we're understanding who he is. He feels a little lost to me as who is this human being for multiple reasons. And it's like Joe Flacco too likable. Jameis Winston, you have a problem if he comes in, he wins a few games. And he's the Jameis version of himself where he's verbally intriguing and riles up the whole team. And the Browns fans are going crazy for him. We're right back where we were a year ago with Flacco, and they got rid of that guy because it was too much of a problem. You're stuck with this guy at quarterback. So I think it is a conundrum.
Mark, I thought being a Jets fan was complicated, Rich. This is a whole other level.
This is why I don't sleep. I'm up all night, you know.
Well, existential crisis stuff going on here.
If we cut to 1 year ago today, you were in a fetal position, sir.
I was.
I mean, there's no question about it.
I was.
Dan Anzus and Mark Sessler here. Everybody should check out the Heed the Call podcast on 5 days a week, and you could see it. It's an Underdog production of Underdog, and so let's move on to the Jets. What's your take on what you saw on Monday Night Football?
Obviously disappointing, and I thought that the one thing that concerns me, and I liked what I saw from Aaron Rodgers overall. I know he did the numbers weren't great and he wasn't perfect, but I came out of the game seeing enough to be like, okay, that's going to be okay. The concern that I've had around this team for the last couple of years is I don't trust the coaching. And to come into that game and see Shanahan just go in circles around his old buddy Saleh and Ulbrich, the DC, and just out-scheme. And then all the concerns that you had, like the Jets have had a strong defensive line under Saleh. They made some changes. Reddick is obviously missing here. And to see them get worked the way they were up front, that is concerning to me. So it is ironic and it is very Jetsy that they finally get the quarterback back. And I know Brockman's smirking over there, but the third drive.
Don't worry about him.
I can't help it, these Boston guys.
It's in your head.
Don't worry about it. But like third drive when Rodgers takes over, 70,000 fans screaming, and you see he's in control of the line and he's totally got the team locked in. They go right down the field. Big third down pickups, and you're like, okay, this is a professionally run offense with an all-time great at quarterback. And then now the defense is where we're springing leaks. So you go into week two in Nashville thinking, okay, that seems like a nice matchup. And I watched the Titans this morning, and Will Levis was a mess in that game, just every bit as bad as Deshaun Watson in some ways. And I think, okay, this should be a get-right game. But how do I feel confident after watching that Tony Pollard's not going to go off after what Jordan Mason did?
Let me give you a half glass full.
Okay. Hit me, Rich.
The last time Rodgers played a snap was when his Achilles snapped. He didn't do a thing in the preseason on the field in a game. Last night was the first time they actually did it together in a game. And the Niners are your opponent. And Fred Warner is standing in the middle of that field.
Yeah.
And he's peanut Tillmaning the ball out of Breece Hall's arms. And he's also going sideline to sideline behind Bosa up front. I mean, what'd you expect? And the fact that they did put it together for that, you know, touchdown drive that gave him the lead to start. I mean, it's a flash. That's a sign. Rick Dalton GIF. Like, there it is. That's exactly what they can do. But you're right. The defense was the biggest thing. And as I said to start the show, if you want to play for Saleh, you better show up because there's a door. And even Rodgers has said that if they underperform this year, everybody's gone. I mean, Joe Douglas is not on. He's on, I guess, the Mike McCarthy plan right now. Like, his contract's up. He doesn't have any. I mean, he's put together quite a team. And Hassan Reddick's not walking through that door. I mean, he's got no cachet with the Jets. He's like, he's never played it down for the Jets. And so, I mean, if you're hoping that he's the answer, the answer should be in the building. You know?
And Hassan Reddick, if he's on the field, Brock Purdy, you know, could set up a picnic yesterday. But really, Hassan Reddick's not a guy that's known for stopping the run either. So that's not like the game would have been totally different.
I don't think so.
I think overall, I don't want to sound doom and gloom because I'm not, because I really do. And, you know, we had my dad, who's, you know, goes back to the Namath days, on the show last night, and he had a similar vibe as I did. It was like, well, that sucked. But you know what? We have more time to figure this out. And that's just such a big difference from last year, when not only did the you lose Rodgers, but you knew the season was over after week one. So plenty of time to get it figured out. But it, absolutely, you can't spin it any other way than disappointment, because once you hear Christian McCaffrey's out, and you knew it was a summer of storms up there in San Francisco with the player and the holdout and all that stuff going on, it felt like a good spot for the Jets, weirdly, to me. And, you know, me and a lot of other Jets fans were wrong.
Dan Andrews, Mark Sessler here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody check out the Heed the Call pod, all five of them, every single week through the Underdog Fantasy production. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the rest of the National Football League best we can. Get some week one thoughts for you. Turn the page to week number two. That's how we're rolling into our first break of hour number two here on day two of the in-season edition, if you will, of the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash, that's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer, terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness, your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets. This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on The Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats, so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets, in particular, with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, guys, you want to have a competition here? Let's drag the heroes into this thing.
Absolutely.
Every now and then I get a residual check from SAG-AFTRA.
Here we go.
And it's Price is Right rules, closest without going over. There's no prizes. It's just played for pride. It's called Residual Rich. Hit it. Hit.
Pay that man his money.
All right, here we go. Give me that. Thank you. Price is Right rules. So we've got the greatest. I wonder who's into it more, the drummer or the flutist?
That's
he's
nice.
Crushing it right here.
Sensitive but aggressive.
There's a triangle guy too in there.
That's great. Okay, here we go. This is for, oh gosh, my, this is wild. This is the first thing I ever did. An episode of Arliss.
Oh my God, Arliss.
Okay.
Okay, Wow.
I'm not going to share my Arliss takes, Arliss. But I love that you were on it.
Arliss. This is literally the first thing I ever Arliss did takes. When I was on I SportsCenter. Chris Brockman, you have at it. What's the residual check for?
It's literally just for Arliss.
There's one episode for pay TV of Arliss.
What year?
Oh, God, 96, 97.
Like right. 13,
let's go, let's
13
go.
Cents.
What do you got?
Here 13 we go. Cents.
13 cents. Mike Del Tufo.
25 cents.
All right. Mark Sessler, what do you think?
I've got 26 cents.
26 cents.
Froze him out. I will say 74 cents.
74 cents. TJ Jefferson, who's actually won on The Price is Right. What do you have, sir?
I'm going to go 87 cents, Rich.
Ooh. Wow. That's normally what these checks are for. I don't know what the hell Robert Wall's up to. Here we go. $16.04.
So I win?
Dang. You do win. You're close.
That is ridiculous.
Wow.
That's what I do.
We didn't value you enough.
That's what guys, I do. You did not. But honestly, these are normally for cents on
is
the dollar.
Is that literally for the last 30 years?
I guess it's accrued and doubled and trebled.
Wow.
I like that. That's a trip to In and Out, Rich.
That's true. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Another segment with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler of the Underdog production. Heed the Call 5 days a week, the podcast. Check it out. Okay, so I'll give you the macro question. Your week one storyline is what, Mark?
I am deeply concerned about Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. I thought that that was a team that was not only going to win the division, but come out and at home show us that all these weapons in a post-Arthur Smith world would be used correctly, and that Kirk Cousins... coming off the Achilles would look like the old Kirk Cousins. And, you know, I watched the game. I was like, I think he's healthy. But then the more that you dig into it and look at some, what happened on some of his near interceptions and incompletions, it's an issue with the footwork. I just don't know if he's able to really drive the ball that he the way he wants to. And I think it raises the question that we've talked about a lot on our show. It's like you went out and drafted Michael Penix, and he played in the preseason. They shut him down because they liked him enough. He's the kind of guy that's spicy, and if they get into trouble, the fans start crying for the backup. And I just wonder where they are in even a couple weeks. Like, if Kirk Cousins struggles, is Michael Penix too rich of an option to not take a look at, to turn to? So to me, they're a team of intrigue. I thought they would come out and beat a Steelers team, and they were dominated by TJ Watt. And so I leave concerned with the Atlanta Falcons, and they are my interesting team of intrigue at this
point. Yeah, their next two games, Monday Night Football in Philadelphia. And, you know, Kirk Cousins has had some long nights there as a member of the Vikings and obviously some with the Commanders. And then they got the Chiefs coming in. Oof. I mean, those are their next two with a visit to New Orleans and with the home dates with New Orleans and Tampa, and you have to win your home division games. So that's the way the Falcons are looking after that week one loss. And Arthur Smith has got to feel great, right? To beat the Falcons with six field goals, even though his offense didn't get in the end zone, but at least he's got that revenge served cold.
And that
cold.
Schedule, that reminds me of the way, you know, Park Avenue sets it up. It's like, we'll give you, maybe it's not a cookie in week one at home, but one that you should win. But if you don't, you better watch out, because the next 2 weeks could be a nightmare situation for you. I think Cousins, to use a baseball analogy, Rich occasionally will text about the Yankees.
Yes. His cousin, I think, is Jake Cousins.
It is, yes.
And I think he should be the closer, by the way, off right now, if I had to choose one. But I'm sorry to diverge.
But now I feel like it should be something about Jake Cousins. But I was going to mention Nestor Cortez, the type of pitcher who doesn't live with great stuff. So a fastball that maybe sits 92, 93. If you have a shoulder issue or something with your lower body, Kirk Cousins never had a cannon for an arm. So I think it's fair to wonder if he's physically compromised at all after a major surgery and he's a little older. If he does lose something off a fastball that was never a big time fastball, is he going to start hanging some balls over the middle? Like, these are real concerns. But I overall, like, he's been such a steady guy in his career, and I think he's set up with pieces around him still that I'm not overly concerned, but they have put themselves in a tough spot now.
And the glass half full way to go about that too is Kyle Pitts scored a touchdown on American soil.
Sure did.
So, I mean, like, Cousins found him.
That's
and
true.
He's wide open. And by the way, you got to hit him when he's 9 feet tall and waving his arms because you're so damn wide open. I mean, if you don't hit that, then you got a problem. Your week one story would be what?
A lot of hype around the Texans, and and so I think Mark picked them to actually win the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. So it's a lock. So, yes.
So yeah, watching this great division matchup, and I'm kind of bullish in general about the AFC South as a fun division this year. And seeing Anthony Richardson, who was imperfect but a lot of fun with 3+50-yard
dude, that
plays
throw
in this
Alec
game.
Pierce is unreal. The clubhouse leader for throw of the year right now.
His foot kind of goes out. There's something going on with the Lucas Oil turf. I don't know if you had any issues when you were in Indy, Rich. I don't know if they had switched
yet. It's always been the turf.
Yeah, so they changed it, and now
it
yeah, exactly. That's the difference between 4-4. But yeah, so that was fun. But C.J. Stroud having a monster running game is a scary thought. And just like what we saw in San Francisco with that line blowing open huge running lanes for the backup running back, seeing Joe Mixon just going through, you know, reaching the second level without being touched. Now, the Colts had a bad day defensively, but if their running game is for real, and Stephon Diggs was a really nice fit, like wasn't the 2022 Stephon Diggs necessarily, but he was a red zone menace with 2 touchdowns. We know that they have other big time receivers with Nico Collins and Tank Dell there, and CJ Stroud in year two after historic year one. If you give them a running game, they might lead the league in scoring, and look out, and Mark might end up right in February. So watching Mixon just kick ever-living butt is something that jumped out to me in week one for
who
that
did you predict the Texans to beat in the Super Bowl?
I had the Texans beating the Detroit Lions 27-21 in overtime.
Geez, you're giving me... That's oddly specific. I'm not going to...
Well, that, I mean, we were
I've been doing... this is the 15th year we've covered the NFL together, and Mark has never not picked a game to go to overtime. So that's so you know.
Actually, the broken clock's going to be right at least once. And last year, your clock was broken perfectly.
Falcons, Patriots, you got that right.
Very nice.
Nailed it. You know.
See, nicely done. But now that it's happened, you got to go raise the stakes and say double overtime.
That's you're a good showman, because that would have been
27-21. So do they score first, or they stop them first and then score a touchdown? Do they miss the extra point?
That's a weird overtime.
I think they miss the extra point.
Okay.
And then they go do what they need to do on the next drive.
Stop them on defense.
So that is actually raising the stakes a little bit, because that's a very odd scenario to miss.
So now why even watch a game? You seem to have Biff Tannen's almanac now. Why even watch?
The Gray Sports Almanac.
Well, TJ's got the script.
I do.
Right? Don't you? Do you still have it? TJ keeps busting this thing out. There it is.
My sight, guys. This is like gold right now.
Did you print out the cover page yourself? Like, I'm wondering how you've done this sort of thing.
I didn't print nothing. It came to me in this confidential envelope.
Did you print out?
It's obviously legitimate.
Did you print
legal?
Out the word confidential on an envelope?
Again, Rich, I didn't do anything. I walked to my mailbox. I looked in.
It was just there.
Dangerous.
It was there.
Weird.
It was just there.
Actually,
really
I won't lie to you guys. I had to sign for it. It was that important.
God, oh, wow.
Of course. Well,
who did it come from? An R. Goodell? Is that what you're saying?
The Shield NYC on here is what it says.
You even printed that out, too.
You
now, do you have a glue stick?
Do you use a glue stick? All I had was a letter opener that I popped this open with.
That's the way it goes.
And I pulled the script out, and I could have told you what happened week one, but I didn't want to.
Did your mom send you the glue stick from Altoona?
See? You know, my mom doesn't know nothing about football.
Your arts and crafts from back in the day.
Doesn't this look legitimate? Doesn't this look like it came from the league?
Wish it was colored.
It's all right there. See the script?
What did you pick for the Super Bowl, Dan?
Oh, we don't really need to.
What did I touch a third rail here? What is it? Well, Jets who?
Jets Packers.
That's exactly who I
picked.
Jets Packers.
Look at you. Yeah. I mean, boy, you need a super fun site after week one for that one.
But I think that was exactly the pick. Last year was actually Jets Niners. So, again, broken clock is right once so far for the Jets every 60 years almost now. So, like, well, maybe it comes back around. It's about 60. So,
well, let's talk about the Packers a little bit here, because I do feel like there's a bit of a vibe of last year's Jets here, although at least for the Packers, Jordan Love is not out for the full season. But if he's out for a third of a season, the rest of the division just won in week one, right?
Yeah.
And I think Sam Darnold shows you that this team is going to at least be in the running for a 7 seed with they're not going to win just 4 games, 5 games if everybody stays healthy there in Minnesota. The Bears are who we think they are. Which is a team that's going to struggle a little bit on offense until
they
can maybe match the defense in terms of production and they have the horses to do that. So, and the Lions are I think, as they showed, you know, good enough to win it all again in the division, if not the entire conference, if not the entire league. So if they're going with Malik Willis, who's, I guess, in the Zach Wilson role of, we got you there, you know, we don't intend to ever use you, but we've got you there. I don't know if the if he can be coached up to the point where they're going to win half the games that that they're going to have to win with Jordan Love out.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm telling any lies here.
No. If the most mystifying thing that I saw in week one was Antonio Pierce punting on 4th and 1 from the plus 43 down 6 with 7:15 to go in the fourth quarter against the Chargers. The second most mystifying thing was looking at the depth chart of the Packers and realizing that their backup quarterback is a guy that washed out of Tennessee immediately, just got signed a couple weeks ago, and probably doesn't even have a strong grasp of the playbook. And you're trying to win a Super Bowl. I can't believe that they left themselves so vulnerable. And I hope things go well. Like, our producer on Heed the Call is Justin Graver, who does an amazing job, and he's a Titans fan. And he's real about Malik Willis. He understood why they went and got Will Levis. So maybe there's Matt LaFleur pixie dust here, and he can get him past this stretch without messing up their season. But I feel like they're extremely vulnerable, every bit as vulnerable as the Jets were last year with Zach Wilson right now.
Well, I think it's the reason that whispers, you know, came about maybe like Ryan Tannehill is like the one veteran guy sitting out there. Yeah. Like, yeah. Look at you need your backup quarterback. Like, I think ideally, like, you project him to play one or two games or a half or a quarter where, like, he has to come in and just do the job. And everything that we've seen from Malik Willis does not suggest he's going to just come in and do the job, especially in a new environment, new team, new playbook. Yeah. I love the coaching there. I think there's great surrounding cast. It's not a bad situation for a backup, but I would be looking around for someone who has been in the NFL for years that has some proven proof of concept track record. I would call Ryan Tannehill right now. I've sort of said there's been reports that maybe they want to do that, maybe they don't. But if you're Matt LaFleur, I mean, you're right. This division is gnarly. It's nasty. It's not what it was a couple years ago. There's no easy turns here. And so you can't fall behind two or three games because your quarterback cannot provide.
So wasn't LaFleur there when Tannehill was there? I mean, didn't they hire LaFleur from Tennessee when Tannehill was there? I mean, they must speak the same language.
There are reports out there that Tannehill wants to be in, like, the perfect situation.
Well, guess what? Honestly,
probably not existing.
Well, I mean, right. The perfect, yeah. You know, take a look. I don't blame him, right? But mm-hmm. he's waiting for what? Somebody to go down for the year? Honestly, you have to take a look at the way things are in the world. I would give 2 cents. Last year's comeback player of the year, right? Last year's comeback player of the year was on the couch past Halloween,
right?
And so maybe the 6 weeks are now, and you're standing there, and anything can happen. And suddenly you're playing a playoff game for the Green Bay Packers, and you're just saying, I'm going to sit and wait for the situation where I'm going to start a playoff game like Joe Flacco. Those are pretty rare, man. I don't know.
On the flip side of that, though, like, we don't really know where his headspace is at. He's made a lot of money.
That's true.
He's got a nice family and everything over there. And maybe he's thinking, this would be nice. I mean, this would be nice to come in and get a couple starts with the Packers.
Now, when you say nice family, you're talking about environment? Is that what you're saying?
Like, Lauren Tannehill seems like a wonderful woman, and I know they have children. They seem to be happy.
There you go.
I don't know them personally, actually. I don't even know why I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill.
Reporting about
Tannehill's personal life.
I'm just trying to...
I don't know. Get me out of this, Rich. What I'm saying is that he's probably thinking to himself, well, it's an MCL sprain. Yeah. It's maybe a 2 to 3 week injury. And you know what? I'm comfortable where I am right now. And I don't want to be standing with a clipboard in December in Green Bay once Jordan Love is healthy and, like, tearing up the NFL again. I get that human side of it, too. But it depends.
I can report briefly that I have met Lauren Tannehill.
Oh,
Dan knows this.
He did.
At NFL Honors, you know, when you're trying to get quotes from players and everyone's shoved up along the wall.
Sure.
Lauren Tannehill, beautiful person, nice person, like had her purse on the ground, a very expensive white purse. And I got moved back by a handler and stepped on her white purse.
Oh, no. Did you smudge?
I heard a loud crackling sound. Like it was must have been like a compact or something expensive, shattered inside. And we kind of just looked at each other. And it was kind of like, I hate you a little bit. That was her look to me. And then I skirted away into the distance after apologizing. So she handled it well. So I think, Dan, you're right.
I think that was the final time, Rich, we were assigned to cover the red carpet at NFL.
We never did that again.
We got the invite.
Just
got to
watch where you're stepping.
Yeah.
That's it, man. You never know.
It's my superpower.
The call, the podcast that'll tell you who's nice in the family world. Right here on
educated guesses.
Rich Eisen Show. You're just throwing darts at a board.
Yeah.
What Instagram? Okay. So who's standing in the Chiefs' way? You said Texans. Give me another one. Give me who's standing in the Chiefs' way.
Man, the one other team I would just want to throw out because they're not getting a lot of love through the summer. Just watching Josh Allen ball out after falling behind against Cardinals. Okay. And everything looks like it's going to hell. And he is one of those dudes. There's probably only five of them in the league that you could tell where he's like, okay, I'm changing the situation here. He ends up with four touchdowns in that game, two on the ground. He jacks up his hand in the process, and you have to worry about that. He is going to have to do a lot with that offense, but he can. And, you know, you watch the Jets fall on their face in that game. We know what Miami does every December and January, and the Patriots are the Patriots, week one notwithstanding. And, like, the idea of just counting out Buffalo and counting out that man with so much to prove – that was an eye opener to me on Sunday.
And then you've got the Cowboys here, and if I'm just saying, if the Chiefs had done to the Browns what the Cowboys did to the Browns, if the Lions had done to the Browns, if the Niners had done to the Browns what the Cowboys just did to the Browns, just trying to show you some false equivalencies, unless they're true equivalencies. Mm-hmm. A lot of us in our media world would be like, they're winning the Super Bowl. The Cowboys do it, and it's just like, okay. We'll see in January, you know, and I'm just wondering again, because what they did, their stat sheet didn't light up, but what lit up was everything else. The only stat sheet that really lit up was Brandon Aubrey's stat sheet. And it could have been, been lit up with a 70 yarder, which I thought they still were going to go to. I've seen many attempted on the elf. I've never seen anything tempted on the left side of the elf before.
Pretty cool.
Beyond the elf, which is another, maybe Underdog can have a podcast called that.
I'll write that one.
But that's the way I came on, gave them their flowers. That's what I handled this way. Gave them their flowers, and then the other headline is whatever. I mean, that's really the way you got to look at it.
Well, I love that because, I mean, last year, the way they destroyed the Giants early on in the season,
40-0.
Right? And that was every aspect of their team dominating. And that's what I thought with Cleveland was like special teams, defense. Their offense wasn't explosive, but they did everything they needed to do. Coaching, it looked like they've got it all together.
He called a great game, McCarthy.
He really did. And like, I think it was kind of like, wait a minute, after we spoke about the Cowboys all offseason in a certain way, they went and just dominated. But last season is proof of like, yeah, but I can't trust that until it occurs in the new year. Like, I need it to happen in January, and I'm okay not trusting them until they prove me wrong. I think also they played a team that looked disorganized and disheveled and completely lost with no plan. So I felt
for Siciliano, who this is his dream job, calling Browns games, right?
Duffy, yeah.
And that's his first one. He deserves better. You deserve better. You sound like the kid who sent the letter to Belichick right now. That's what you sound like.
I was that kid.
I know you were.
Yeah.
I work with Bill now. He's a colleague, so maybe we could get that squared away on Heed the Call.
So how old were you when you sent a letter to Belichick?
Well, I was actually, it's a weird story, but I went to Miami of Ohio and took a class called football coaching. I was not 38. I was like 17. Yes. But you had to find a coach to write to, and a lot of people were just writing their old high school coach, and I was like, I'm going to write Bill Belichick and see what happens. Like, probably never hear back. And then,
at the time, current head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Absolutely. And I actually went to Miami of Ohio because I wanted to work for the Browns. So I was like, I'm going to just simply go to Ohio. That made a lot of sense. Transferred a year later. Nothing happened. But, like, Belichick wrote back, like, a month later. I always thought it was probably, like, his secretary. But who was Nick Saban's secretary at Alabama for years later. Okay. And she confirmed that it was actually Bill after I wrote that story.
So. At a typewriter? Like he typed it out himself? Not dictated, but not read
by
Bill Belichick?
I have to imagine it was dictated. Like the idea of, because it was typewritten, but there were computers then.
That's so signed.
It could have been, I could have come off like a dot matrix printer.
So you still obviously have this.
I have all these. Yeah.
Okay. It is entirely possible with him part of the underdog world,
right,
that you can actually get him to sign it or have a conversation with you about it, maybe on Heed the Call or something.
It also strikes me that it could come across as slightly creepy. So I'm trying to think about how to approach that.
Should I tell him my story? You got to fight through the creepiness.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
I've done that multiple times with Donald Arthur Mattingly, one of the greatest human beings ever created. Mine too.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I have done it. I have embarrassed myself in front of him multiple times. Multiple times. And you know what? It embarrasses my loved ones. But I keep going. I keep going. Don't you worry.
That's a good lesson.
Please keep going. Fight through the creepiness.
Okay. I've been told that before. So.
by Lauren Tannehill, everybody. Yes. Okay, everyone. Hey.
Put Donnie in the hall.
There you go. That's a heavy lift, as much as I hate to admit. Good to see you, gents. Come back anytime. Let me know what's going on in your world, and appreciate you coming on here.
Thank you for having us, Rich.
Mark Sessler, Dan Hanzus, everybody check out Heed the Call, 5 pods a week on the Underdog Podcast Network. We're back with more. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. What is the furthest you've ever thrown a football, Josh?
The furthest was in Wyoming, so I did get a little assistance from the elevation.
Yes.
But it was right around 83 yards.
Right around 83.
Yeah.
Are we rounding up or are we rounding down to the 83, Josh?
We were probably rounding up just a little bit, but 83 was that was the number.
So, I don't know, I'm looking up to see if you're playing in Denver at all, so you can get a little bit of some altitude. Can you do that in an NFL game, you think?
I mean, there was one game, I think it was my rookie year against the Dolphins. I threw a ball dang near as hard as I can, and my receiver was 60, 70 yards downfield, and I overthrew him just by a little bit.
you airmailed him.
I did, and that was just one of those, like, I didn't feel like I threw it as hard as I could, but my hip fired so hot, and it just came out of my hand extremely well, and it was spinning, and it was a little warm in Miami, so it might have flown a little farther, but it was just one of those that just kind of even blew me off guard, so something I've toned down a little bit, though, and I feel like I've got a little more control on my sure. ball right now.
Oh, understood. No, accuracy is something that you definitely have improved on, as we have seen. So let's just walk me through this. At some point during a game in your career, let's just say it could even happen this weekend against New England, where you have to throw a Hail Mary to win it. At what yardage do you say to your coach, I still got this. Give it to me. Your own probably, what? Your own what?
We're like, I know I can get the ball in the air and get it probably a good 4 or 5 yards deep in the end zone, probably around the 35.
Your own 35?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, you're probably going to have to avoid a rush a little bit, even if they're coming at you with 3-man. You're going to have to roll out a little bit. So right around your own 30-something yard line, you can get it in there. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Unbelievable. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, the NFL season, as we're all well aware, is finally upon us. Do not miss a second of the action with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. When you bundle it together, you get the most live NFL games all in one place. We love the multi-view feature. It's their signature. You can watch 4 NFL games at once. It's so, it just looks great on the screen. You know what I mean? It's not just the games. It's just the way they present it. And it's so easy to toggle between all 4 games. You can hear the sound very easy. It's so simple to use. It's a game changer. We love it. And you could create your own 4-game multi-view feature as well. Sign up today at youtube.com/NFLST. Device and content restrictions apply. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games. One of our favorites, Jeff in Detroit, is on the program. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, up my cousins?
What's on your mind, Jeff?
NFL week, I tell you. Just wanted to talk real quick about the situation with Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
Once upon a time, we pulled over Dre Bly. He was on his way to the practice facility. It was like 03, 04, sometime around there. And he was doing about 80. Pulled him over. And when we spoke to him, I'm on my way to I'm on my way to the game, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no problem. Jump behind us, put the lights on, got him there. Guess who has sideline tickets for the next game?
That'd be you.
Now, exactly. Now, with the situation that I don't know exactly what happened, but for some reason, when people crack their windows, police hate that. And there's no law against it, but they just take it as a sign of disrespect. It's like you can get your information through the window and receive it through the window. I never took it personally because people are people. You know what I'm saying? But in a situation like that, I believe that's what triggered the police officer because there was absolutely no reason to do him like that. I mean, he's a part of the city. You're a part of this city. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're on a detail for Miami. It was unheard of.
Well, I mean,
I feel real bad for it.
Well, a couple of questions here, Jeff. We've known each other for 10 years, you calling into the program. How long were you a cop, Jeff?
I was a cop from 1996 to 2007.
So, because when you said trigger, it seemed, I mean, again, way more than trigger. I mean, it went from like zero to nuclear. From my point of view, watching this.
That's because you have police officers that have this built-in toughness about themselves, and they can't de-escalate a situation. They have to ramp it up for some reason. Now, you do have good police officers out there that probably are listening to your show that actually do de-escalate, but it's just when you see the certain ones, like in a Scottie Scheffler situation, just pulling him over to the side, advising him of what's going on and letting him go on about his business, understanding what he is and that he's bringing revenue. And that's the thing about it. He's bringing revenue to the city. The more people that come visit your city, guess what? It looks better on your city. It looks better on you. And you being a professional, man, when I had that Tiger Stadium detail, unless you jumped into the back of my scout car, I wasn't doing nothing. Well, I'm going to have me a good time, hang and kick it with the people and be who I'm supposed to be, an ambassador of the city. Well, that's what you're supposed to be.
Yes. Well, the difference, I guess, between Scottie Scheffler, Jeff, and this one is Scottie Scheffler, when he was maneuvering his car, there was somebody who was struck by a bus and killed. And that's why the police were there. And so, you know, and I'm not making any excuses, obviously. Right. But this one, it's just a guy who is speeding. And that's what the body cam showed. It was just speeding, and it was a game day, and everybody's just driving, getting to the game. I don't know, you know, why the cops responded in such a manner to drag him out of the car, throw him down on the ground, handcuff him, and then at some point, you know, some of the teammates were coming up. I mean, the Walter Payton Man of the Year was cuffed, Jeff.
I mean,
Calais Campbell.
You have these police officers that are just, they feel like they're badge given. And see, it's all indiscretion. You have certain police officers that, when they were younger, they were bullied. Now, their tone is absolute, because you could hear it in the video. As soon as he said, roll the window down, you're getting arrested. And I mean, there was no in between. Either roll the window down or you're getting arrested. There's no law against just cracking your window and receiving a citation. There's no law against it, but it's the ego part of it. It's I'm the law. This is my domain, and you're going to do what I say. That's the problem.
Jeff, you're the best. Thanks for chiming in on the subject and giving your perspective.
Thanks, I'll call you guys later.
Jeff in Detroit.
Hey, Jeff.
What did you think when you watched this video, TJ?
You know, I wanted to see the body cam footage, of course, first before I...
We all did in this world. You never know until you see it.
So I was seeing the passerby footage, and that in itself was just like hard to watch. You know, here you've got a guy who is an ambassador for the city. The Dolphins are really involved in the community. I know that for a fact. And so you've got this guy, what you're initially seeing is Tyreek Hill laying face down on hot pavement, getting taken down in another video by an officer while people walk up and down the sidewalk behind him wearing Dolphins jerseys. And I'm sure someone probably had his jersey on. So as Richard Sherman said yesterday, it's the embarrassment first and foremost. Like, that's embarrassing and that's scary.
But that's the video that you were saying you saw on Sunday that passers-by were shooting. What about the body cam footage?
Now you get the body cam footage and you kind of, you know, people's love to say, if you only would have listened or if you would have complied. And as I said on this show before, I was simply walking down my own street one day when I got rolled up on and handcuffed. I wasn't doing anything and I complied, you know? So you can just be minding your own business or you can be complying. And if someone is a little bit of a hardo, you get some of these officers, like he said. And it's usually, Mike, the second guy who comes onto the scene.
Yes.
The first guy who was engaged with him, they seem to be having, you know, a conversation. And I've seen this hundreds of times on television. It's the second guy that comes over. Yep. Now, he's got to be Billy Badass. He's got to prove that he's the man, and he's the one who pulled him out the car and escalated the situation when it didn't have to be that way. So people wonder why there's this disconnect. It's because you're afraid. Like, you guys don't have the same fears that I do. If I hear a siren, bro, it's not like, oh, let me get out of the way. It's like fear takes over from my entire body. I tense up and I feel fear. And I know all officers aren't bad, obviously. You know, I got pulled over on Rose and Lincoln one day because my headlight was out. This officer, not only did he put me on game, he told me that my license plate came back as my car was stolen. But the thing was, he took time to talk to me before he ran the plate. And then he told me, your plate came back stolen. And he told me this was the conversation he had with whoever was on the other line. And he said, no, I don't believe it about him. Run the plate again. They ran the plate again and turned out that they put an extra E in my license plate. So, and he came up to me and, like I said, he put me on game. He told me, essentially, that I was lucky that I got him and not one of his fellow officers who might be a little, and that's how he left. He goes a little, and he did that to me, kind of letting me know that, like, some guys are going to be a little aggressive. He told me what to do if it happened again. He goes, you might get pulled over again because they might misread your plate. He told me what to do, how to get out of the car, how to put my hands up, how to ask them to run my plate again. He basically was sharing with me how to handle this situation because he knew on another day, another officer, it could have escalated. So, you know, you see this stuff and it's hard, and you're always going to have those people who are going to be like, you know, they should have done this, he should have done that. But watch the video and listen. It was unnecessary.
Listen, whenever somebody is speeding down a street and I'm like sitting like, well, where are the cops? Boy, I would love for a cop to be here right now to actually get this person speeding down the street and ticket that person, right? And cite them. I always say that all the time. And watching the body cam footage, you do see Tyreek just zip down the street, okay? And they pull him over. Mm-hmm. And then you watch the whole exchange about the window. And then as soon as the second guy comes in, it just goes from zero to nuclear.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this and I'm horrified. I have never, and that's what Mike McDaniel said in a tear-filled 4 minutes that I think everybody should seek out, saying that, you know, the thing that F's him up about it is that he doesn't know how it feels.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way hearing, I've never been told by an officer how to handle being pulled over. And I understand why I've never been told that. So I told, this was an outrage. Watching this from soup to nuts was an absolute outrage. And I don't care what Tyreek Hill has done in the past. I don't care of that. He did not deserve to be yanked out of the car and thrown down on the ground and be told to stop crying when he's saying that he had knee surgery. Mm-hmm. And I understand some people might be like, then he should have rolled his window down. You don't deserve to have your car door popped out and you dragged out on the ground.
Yeah.
And then when Jonnu Smith is like, you know, and the police are saying, this has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. Has everything to do with him? Has everything to do with the community? Has everything to do with anybody? And again, the Walter Payton Man of the Year, the Man of the Year, was thrown in cuffs. And he was, you just watch the body cam footage. He's not being threatening. Nope. He's not being threatening by any stretch of the imagination.
That's the thing that worried me, because you have him at a 6'8", 330-pound man. Now, the chances of something going really bad because they're afraid of him.
I understand higher. That. That I understand. But the whole thing, soup to nuts, was an outrage. The Dolphins put out a very strident statement. I know there are a lot of people who think these police officers should be fired. You do.
I do, as an ex-cop. I told TJ, I said it completely. That was insane what they did for a moving violation or a supposed moving violation. That's not even if it's a felon or someone like that. And the car comes back as this guy just robbed banks. Totally different story. Then I understand these guys coming in with that. That second guy came in so fast.
He came in hot, man.
Exactly.
And then Tyreek is just standing there, and he's putting him in a chokehold and flips him over.
Are you kidding me?
While he's yelling to Johnny Smith, call Drew Rosenhaus.
I wore a gun, and that disgraced as a ex-cop that wore a gun.
Crazy.
I can't. Or in a badge. I can't believe that those guys did that.
And see, here's what happens now, right? Now you're going to get another situation where someone's going to get pulled over and that person's going to run. And something's going to happen. Well, why are they going to run? Because now they're afraid. Yes. Because now fear is instilled in them because they saw this.
As opposed for them handling the situation in the same way that the police officer who once upon a time pulled you aside handled it with you. And again, I just want to say this too. We are not anti-police. Please understand that.
No.
My brother-in-law.
By any stretch of the imagination, we are anti-police acting in the manner that this body cam footage revealed. Hour number 3 coming up. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
A 2023 last place team will win a playoff game this year.
I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals to be that team. If you gave me
safe bet.
If you said 2 last place teams, I might say that's an overreaction. Come react or overreact with us. This one makes it much easier. Very so cool. Thank you for making it easier.
Well, tune in next week.
Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen.